worked, so we decided to make it a youth service as well. So everything that is done will be youth leading the service today, including the sermon today, which is going to be given by one of our seniors, Lydiana Bradford. And so we are excited. We hope y'all have energy and join us for worship and everything else we do this morning. But let's get started.
Amen. They'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You may be seated. Children, it's time for you to come up. I'm sorry. Hey, just I was thinking.
Hello, everybody. Hey, what's going on? Good morning. All right. Well, who can tell me what a sucker is? Do y'all know what a sucker is? Yeah?
It's soccer practice in the soccer game.
Ooh, all right.
Not soccer, a sucker.
You know what sucker is?
Yeah, I mean
sucker. Oh, are you talking about these suckers? Yeah. All right. Maybe. Here, let's go ahead and we'll pass them out. But do not open them just yet because we're going to do something very, very special at the end, okay? Well, what'd you get? All right. All right. All right. So y'all were thinking of this kind of sucker, but I'm thinking of a different kind of sucker entirely. So does anyone know anything about different kind of suckers? You know a different kind of sucker? A mean person. That's a good guess. All right. But the suckers that I'm thinking of grow at the base of trees. So there's the nice, thick main trunk, but then lots of trees put out skinny little shoots around the trunk every spring. You know, they don't look very nice, but they make the tree look kind of raggedy. And they're a real pain because you can't just wait until a nice soft rain until you can pull them out. They're really attached right down to the root of the tree. And if you don't cut them out, they'll grow tall and pull the nourishment away from the tree. And that's not good, is it? So sometimes the things we like to do become suckers in our lives. I'll show you what I mean. Who likes playing video games? You like playing video games?
Yes.
You like playing video games?
Yeah.
How about watching TV? Who likes watching TV? You like watching TV?
I like watching TV.
You like watching TV?
I like bird shows.
All right. How about playing with toys? Who likes playing with toys?
Me too.
You like playing with toys?
Me.
All right. So then, how does all these things suck time away from more important things? Do y'all know? How about you?
Yeah. They're not really important.
They're not very important. Very good. So then how would our life be different if we just trim back those suckers? We would have more time, right? So then, do you think kids are the only ones who have problems with suckers?
No.
No?
I think.
What do you think? All right. As children of God, both adults and kids, there's one thing we all need to do that's more important than anything else. And that's use our energy and talent and imagination to build up God's kingdom. So listen to what Paul says about that. It says, put everything to the test. Hold on to everything that is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. So when it says test everything, does that mean like the test your teachers give you at school?
No.
No? I mean, what does it mean? What do you think?
It
is? Maybe. Could be. So how can you hold on to what is good for the work for God's kingdom?
It looks like Jesus.
That's right. So this week when you go home, I want you to remember to hold on to what's good. to what builds up God's kingdom and trim back the suckers that are pulling time and energy from the really important things in your life. So if you're ready to do that, wave your suckers in the air. All right, great. All right, let's pray. All right. Dear God, you are good and wise. Help us to not let things that aren't important take away things that are important. Help us to make wise choices. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to children's church.
That was a pretty nice group of kids. Give them a second to migrate out as we move from young kids to old kids. So, like I said at the beginning of the service, this is also our service to graduate all of our to honor all of our graduating seniors. You're not graduating yet. But this is just a chance for us to honor their achievements and honor what they have done and honor them for being a part of this church. And so I am going to call out every senior, and we have gifts for them. And then at the end, I'm going to call up anybody family-wise that would like to come up and pray with them, and then I'll pray over all the seniors when we get done. So, but first we have Nikki Reyes. And what they're getting is a Bible that has their name engraved on it. They're getting a book that we give out every year that's called How to Stay Christian in College. And then they are getting the practical gift, which I try to give every year, which is a small Brita water filter, because most places that you go to after you leave home, colleges and alike, don't have the best water. So it's always practical. These should fit in many fridges, and it's just a practical gift from us. And so the next senior is Lydiana Bradford. I was going to say, y'all can clap if you want to. You got to love and embrace that awkward clap when you're not sure. You're like. Okay, next we have Cody Foster. Next, we have Riley Hood. And last but not least, we have Reed Hughes. We also had one more that was not able to join us for the actual service, but Emily Nadeau has grown up in this church as well, and so she has a table out there. Be sure to check it out. She came and decorated a table, and she was here before she had to go to work, but she's a waitress at Taylor County Tap House, so she had to go to work today, and so she was unable to be with us, so we definitely want to mention her as well. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is we do have a few college graduates that we like mentioning as well. One of them is Shauna Johnson. Shauna graduated from McMurray in December, and as most of you know by now, she's on staff as the associate youth pastor. And then our other graduate that we are aware of, and if anybody else is, I'm going to ask you to stand if you graduated recently. But the other graduate that we're aware of is Ryan Green, and he also graduated from McMurray, but he is not able to be with us today. Before we get going, is there anybody in the congregation that we missed, high school or college, that has graduated in the last year? Alexa. So Alexa Higginbotham, she's also graduated. She's not here with us, but she has finished at Texas State. Yeah, Texas State. So she is a graduate. Anybody else? All right, well, if there's no one else, I'd ask the families to come forward, and you can gather around your senior. especially the seniors on this side, you might need to spread out a little bit. But family, go ahead and come up, and then we'll do a prayer over them. All right, and then a sense of unity, just so we don't overcrowd the kneeling rail. If you would like to, you feel free to put your hands out as we pray over the seniors and join me in prayer. God, we thank you for this graduating class of high school and of college and everything that you have set out on their paths for them to go and achieve. God, we just pray for safekeeping. We pray for peace and understanding and God, just this overwhelming sense of your presence when they are on their own out doing whatever you have for them in the world. I pray that they enjoy the last bit of their, for the high schoolers, the last bit of their senior year. God, may it be joyful. May it be just as exciting and as fun as fun of an opportunity as possible. And then, God, I just pray that you give them peace and discernment as they move on to college. And then for the college graduates that are heading into the workplace, God, I just pray that you will give them direction and peace and understanding. And God, I just pray that you assure them that you are with them and that you love them. And God, I just pray that over all of these seniors here, they know who you are and they know the grace and the peace that, and the love that you give. We thank you and we love you. Amen. One more for our seniors.
Please stand with us for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his Son, our only Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you are new with our church, behind every seat there is a little card that says guests. It has a blue at the top and one that says get connected if you want to receive our reminders. If you would bow your head in prayer with us. Dear Lord, I pray for all of our graduating seniors that they will find their way in college. I pray that in everything we do, we will be honoring you, Lord, and that you will bring us health and safety throughout this time. And I pray that as we go into the sermon, that you will spread your wisdom with us. I pray that we will find our identity in you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. So just a reminder, as we are about to get back into worship, the offering plates are on the kneeling rail. If you would like to give us your tithes and offerings for today, you're welcome to come up during this time of worship. If you give online, you're welcome to do our Wiley Methodist app, or you can text Wiley UMC to the number on the screen, and it'll get you to where you can give online. Thank y'all for y'all's willingness to give. We brag, and I mean seriously, we brag on you all the time, how fortunate we are as a staff to have you as a church, and how much y'all are willing to give just to anything. We have so many stories where it's just, hey, we have this need, can y'all fill it? And then y'all fill it five times over. And it's just such a blessing to be in this church. So thank y'all. So we are going to get started. And these next two songs you might not know, but they're easy to pick up. I want y'all to stand up with me. And I'm going to teach you this first one. This is one of our youth's probably favorite songs. We've played this one for a while. And it's a song that we find that a lot of the youth enjoy. But I personally love it because it's a great song and it's a great reminder of who Jesus is supposed to be for us. And so I'm going to sing the chorus with y'all real quick just as a warm up. And then we're going to get going and y'all can catch on the verses. So the chorus goes, so I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you love me. You love me. Whoa, whoa, because you love me. Of the night, when worry finds me, in the middle of a fight, when strength is gone, in the middle of a fire, when fear is closing in, you are my song. You're my hope, when hope is gone. Here's the chorus. So I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you love me. You love me. Whoa, whoa, because you love me. That was pretty good. We're going to repeat the first verse. In the middle of the night, when worry finds me, in the middle of a fight, when strength is gone, in the middle of a fire, when fear is closing in, you are my song. You're my hope, when hope is gone. Cast my cares. Cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you love me. You love me. Whoa, whoa, because you love me. Whoa. God of glory, you are able through your power to be faithful. God of mercy, every moment you are near to me. Sing that again. God of glory, you are able through your power to be faithful. God of mercy, every moment you are near to me. Yes, you are near to me. So I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. In the middle of the night, I'll pray with confidence. In the middle of a fight, you're greater still. In the middle of a fire, your love is holding me. You are my song. You're my hope when hope is gone. So I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you love me. You love me. Oh, 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 because you love me. Oh, 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 because you love me. Oh, oh, because you love me.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night is stolen, when I'm swimming all the doors. I could rest here in your arms forever, 'cause I know nobody loves me better. Hold on to me. Hold on to me.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence.
You can be seated. So, I do want to take a moment and introduce our speaker. She was up here just a little bit ago. And I do want to say that before we decided to make today Senior Sunday, it had already been noted that it was going to be a Youth Sunday. So, I was like, all right, whole youth, like, who am I gonna do? I was like, who do I feel like is supposed to give this message? And I was like, you know, really, there's no question. It has to be Lidiana. And then it turns out that it happened to be Senior Sunday too. And it was like, well, now it looks like we made her preach because she was a senior. And that's not the case at all. Like, if I had to give this job to anybody in the group, it would be her because she can bring it. Y'all are gonna be blessed this morning. Come on up. And so I wanted to say a quick word of prayer over her before she gets started. And if you'd pray with me. God, we thank you for Lidiana. And God, I pray that all the preparation and the planning that has gone into this, God, you don't let that return void. God, I just pray that you allow your words to speak through her and just give us an opportunity to be blessed by who you are. God, that's all we're here for. I just pray that she has peace. I pray that she has an overwhelming sense of calm. And God, I just pray that you knock the socks off of this room with who you are, not who any of us are. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
Is this on?
Yeah, it is. Sorry. Like Brent said, I'm Lidiana. I'm going to start us off with a prayer. If you'd pray with me. Jesus, Father, thank you for having us all be here today and have us gotten here safely. Please give me the words to say and the message you've given me. Bless those gathered here today. Amen. I am very nervous, so just bear with me a little if I mess up a little or breathe a little harshly. I'm a senior at Wiley, and I've attended church here all of high school. And here's a few things that people identify me by at school, church, or wherever I'm at. I have dark curly brown hair. I wear glasses. I have 5 younger siblings. I love coffee, and I'm the girl who always hangs out with the blonde, and today, I'm the girl who preached at church on Senior Sunday. While these things might tell you a little bit about me, they don't show my whole identity. Today, I'm going to be talking about the struggle of finding your identity while dealing with the realities of what the world says defines you and your identity. Who are you? The first answer to come to my mind is Lidiana. And if someone were to ask me who you were, the first answer to come to my head is fill in the blank of your name. What does Lidiana mean? Well, it's specific. Oh, sorry. It's a proper noun. It's specific to a person, place, object, idea. It's not just anyone, any place, or anything. I think that fits our purpose well. God made you special and unique. We have some things in common, but we're all fashioned uniquely. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This verse reminds us that we are each a child of God. We have that in common, but we are all fashioned uniquely. So, I think we can all agree that God created us unique in identity. It's a shame that the world doesn't see it that way. In general, according to the world, our identity is tied to our worth. The world says all kinds of things about our worth, and therefore, our identity. So how does the world see us? The world says our jobs determine our worth. Our beauty determines our worth. Our success determines our worth. Our baggage determines our worth. Our friends determine our worth. While the world might tell you those things determine your worth, they don't. You will keep trying to be better in all those areas and never be satisfied because it doesn't determine your worth and therefore not your identity. I've really struggled with identity my whole life. It's kind of been an evolving struggle of mine. I think it is for most people. But last year, I went from wanting to fit into all these different crowds and groups, and I've done this all of high school, but I really hit this point of feeling like I had nowhere last year. I didn't really have an identity, and I didn't know who I wanted to be, but I knew a few things, and one of those was that I knew I loved Jesus. And so one day I was sitting in my car, and I was crying, and I was really upset with just life. Sometimes life is kind of hard, and I was really having a hard time understanding why some of the things that were going on were happening. So I was crying, and I just heard in my head, and I just heard clearly, "You are searching for something you already have." And I was sitting there, and I ignored it because, well, I was confused and just feeling sorry for myself. And a few days later, I was in my car again, rambling on to myself about something I was frustrated about, and I was crying again. And I heard again, "You are searching for something you already have." And I was like, "What is he talking about? I don't know what I already have." Yes, I know, I am blessed. And I was walking into my house, and I heard my phone go off, and I was like, "Oh, check my phone." So I check my phone, and I see the verse of the day came up from my Bible verse. And this is the verse that it was, 1 Peter 2:11. "I am an alien and stranger to this world that I temporarily live in." 1 Peter 2:11. "I am an alien and stranger to this world that I temporarily live in." And everything kind of fell into place for me that day. Everything I let myself be identified by and everything I tie to my worth or let others tie to my worth is temporary. It's not permanent. It's temporary. An identity in him is eternal. It's forever. It's everlasting. And I realized I just had to choose it, and I still have to choose to have an identity in him all the time. But I didn't quite grasp that my identity was in him until this year. And it's kind of funny. It's something you're taught your whole life when you're in church. You have an identity in Christ. But I didn't quite accept it, and I still have to remind myself all the time, my identity is in him alone. Romans 6, 6-7 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." Our old self, that means who we were before Christ saved us, was identified by the world's standards. But our new self is identified by our Christ-likeness. While we each struggle with our sinful nature, we are on a journey towards a transformation that involves our identity. I'm going to reword that, sorry. We are on a journey towards Christ that involves a transformation of our identity. In reality, all the things that I let believe define me and my identity, I found it's not just me, are temporary things that I let believe define me and my identity. Sorry, guys, I'm nervous. Give me a second. I found it's not just me, who believes this and feels just as unworthy and in just as much of an identity crisis as me. God gave us an identity. We don't have to be looking for one, yet we do. Our identity is in Him. It has been and always will be. Here's a few verses I like to reference when I'm struggling with the concept of my identity. The first ones are about how God sees me. Romans 8:1, I am forever free from condemnation. Romans 11:16, I am holy. Romans 15:7, Christ has accepted me. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19, I am a temple, home of God. His Spirit dwells in me. Romans 5:1, I have been justified and made righteous, completely forgiven and made righteous, and am at peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation. 1 Peter 2:9-10, I am a part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. Hebrews 4:16, I may come boldly before the throne of God to receive mercy and find grace in times of need. Here's a few verses I use to remind myself that God has a purpose for me. Acts 1:8, I am a personal witness of Christ, for Christ. John 15:16, I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. Our identity in Christ refers to our shared identity with Jesus. In Scripture, we see Jesus walking out his identity in three simple ways. All the verses I listed and many more tie into these areas. The first one, Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Father. Think of Jesus praying in the garden, the time spent learning at the temple as a child, his temptation in the desert, and his strength at the cross. Jesus spent time in prayer and in study and drew on that intimate relationship when he needed strength in difficult times. In Luke 11, we see disciples watching Jesus pray. In awe of the intimacy they were witnessing, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to have that intimacy with the Father. We can spend a lot of time praying and studying, but if we don't turn it outward, we are not living out our identity in Christ. Number two, Jesus loved the people around him. We see this over and over again in Scripture. The compassion he showed the woman at the well who was struggling with sin. The tenderness as he washed his disciples' feet. The sacrifice he was willing to make for all of humanity. The grace he showed Peter after his denial. How do you let the love of God be evident in your life? Do you make people feel valued and accepted? Are you an includer? Are you an encourager? And do you do things just to bless someone? Are you willing to sacrifice your own pride to share the gospel with a friend or invite someone to church? The third way we see Jesus expressing his identity was through his service. Jesus served the people around him. He multiplied the food. He turned the water into wine. He healed the sick and he taught the children. He set down his own agenda for the Lord's over and over again. The people who get their identity in Christ are the people you see serving, not just in church, but in every aspect of their life. Today, I have something that I want everyone to do that's a little different. I'd like everyone who wants to participate today in writing down some of the worldly things that you think make up your identity that don't, and you'd like to let go of. Everyone should have a piece of paper in your bulletin, and if you don't, you can, like, raise your hand. Someone will give away one. I'm going to have this song play by Jason Gray and give you a few minutes to think about what you let define you. After a few minutes of thinking about it, write it down on the paper. What do you let define you?
once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
Symbolizes letting go of the worldly definitions you let define you and your identity. Mine are not fitting in with people my age, my academic achievements, my divorced parents, abuse, my relationship status, and many other things. If you let go of those worldly definitions, you will have an incredible identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. On your way out today, crumble that piece of paper and throw it out. I am confident that if you want to walk in your identity in Christ, you can. I encourage you to evaluate the friend, neighbor, stranger, person, and friend you are, and strive to be the hands and feet of Jesus walking out your life in Christ. Before we close today, I'd like to encourage you of a few things. You are priceless. You are God's masterpieces. He wants you to have an identity in him. He wants that intimate relationship with you if you let him have it. I encourage you to seek a deeper relationship with the Father and to let go of these worldly definitions of who we are. When we are his children, let go of those worldly things that are hindering you from something amazing. Jesus, Father, thank you for having us all be here today. Thank you for giving me this message, and I hope that it blessed those around you and gathered here today. Jesus, Father's name, amen.
Now, did I tell y'all or did I tell y'all that she was going to bring it? So,
jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, for me, and oh,
So, can I take a moment? First off, can we have a round of applause for all the youth? They have worked tirelessly. And I'm super, super proud of all of them. Huh? Hey, yeah, that's a good idea. If you are in the youth group, come forward. Up here. And if you help lead, volunteer, or anything... So this is just a handful of them. We are blessed with a lot of people that come to our church and a lot of youth that don't. But almost everybody standing up was either a graduating senior this year or they had a part in this service. And it was super, super cool to do this. So I did want to mention one thing. If you are new, Pastor Billy will be out on the east side of the lobby, and he'd love to talk with you, but y'all can go sit down. I don't want to embarrass y'all too much. So Pastor Billy will be on the east side of the lobby over here after church if you would like to visit with him, if this is your first time, or if you just want to talk. Billy will be down there, and then the graduating seniors will still be out at their tables. Feel free to stop and say hi, as they will be out there for a little bit, and then they'll start cleaning up. But thank you all for coming and joining us. And now, Lidiana.
Thanks for joining us on Senior Sunday. Congratulations to all the seniors. And please receive this benediction. Remember who you are. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, he loves. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living word, and there's life in God's word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.